Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies. Just choning on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is episode 27 of Bit Season. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
It is Thursday, March 24th, and we are wrapping up another week on the Junkies.
Yeah, happy for you biddies tuning in 27 straight weeks. And you know what I've noticed, too? I've had a lot of messages from biddies telling me that, and you know what? They're like, they're behind, but they love the evergreen content.
We try to keep it as evergreen as possible because everybody's got different listening patterns.
Different schedules.
It's a wrap-up show. It's not your probably your first priority. Even though if you do listen to it early on Thursday or Friday.
It gets a sized when we look at the numbers.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of download numbers, I think soon in the next week or two, we are going to be on our own podcast feed and no longer on the Junkies feed. So you can just click on Bit Season once you get to the fans.
Yeah, I'm glad
website.
You made that announcement because we are breaking free of the Junkies brand, I guess you could say, the podcasting brand, and we will have our own separate feed. And it's very important that everyone subscribes to that feed so that we can show that our numbers are silly outside of the Junks.
Yeah, that was just signed off on the other day. So hopefully by next week we have it ready to go. Make sure you subscribe to it, automatically download. The numbers have been impressive enough where somebody noticed and they want to separate it. And maybe, you know, it's good for us too.
Yeah,
build our own brand.
It's good for us. It builds our own brand. And also, I guess, it shows sales that this is a marketable podcast. This is a successful podcast. This isn't just an appendage of the Junkies. And I'm very tilted by your hood that's up on your sweatshirt because it looks like you have Oakley slobber all over it.
Oh, I probably do.
Or it could be semen.
It's probably not semen, but it might be Oakley slobber. One of those, there's not a lot of them.
Sorry, I was just very
distracting.
I was very
here.
Distracting.
And I'm trying to get comfortable here. We got a nice long show in front of us here. And even though Valdez is talking about us breaking off, doing our own thing, we are still a Junkies wrap-up show, Junkies focus show.
No. I'm not saying that we're breaking off doing our own thing. I'm just saying that The suits out there,
right?
You know, management like Drab, they want to see what the numbers can do when it's not in the Junkies feed.
Yep. So we'll have more details on that.
Yeah, just
soon.
Keep your eyes peeled. We'll make an announcement. We'll tweet something. We'll make sure to tweet out the links and so on and so forth.
And
keep spreading the word, too.
Yeah, an interesting week so far on the Junks. We just got rid of Pablo Francisco here a little bit ago. Always a little bit dicey whenever he comes in here.
Dicey is a very good word to describe Pablo.
It's always interesting when we kind of, not fight, that's not the right word, but like book guests on the show, comedians on the show, because some of the guys love the comedians, some of them could do without, but Jason usually is not into the comedians, but he loves Pablo Francisco. I don't know if the audience loves Pablo Francisco. I know Jason and Cakes like him.
He's one of the few comedians that Jason gets a kick out of. And I'm not really sure. And I'm not really sure why Jason, out of all the comedians that we have in studio, look, in terms of tiers, I think Pablo's a very accomplished comedian.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily call him like the upper echelon of comics, especially some that we've had in studio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just weird that Jason has attached himself to Pablo like that. Like he always looks forward to him coming in.
Well, I'll break it down a little bit in my perspective of.
I have a theory, but I don't know if it's necessarily true or not.
Okay. I definitely want to hear that. If you've noticed on the Junkies, we've had a lot more comedians from the DC Comedy Loft recently, which is a newer comedy place here in the DC area.
Yeah, that's our new pool that we're fishing from.
And the reason why is because the Junkies are old. And let me explain that. DC Improv is the number one billing place for comedy in DC. It's an institution, right? There's other places like the Comedy Loft or the Arlington Cinema and Draft House that we like. But the DC Improv has a reputation of up and coming big names, people who are on the cutting edge of comedy that are new that you're going to see like on TV shows.
They have like a younger crowd.
Not necessarily a younger, well, it is a younger crowd, but more so of just the hotter names. Okay. People, if you're in the comedy industry, that is like names that people are talking about, right?
Okay.
The DC, and I think some of their older names are being phased out. And the DC Comedy Loft is scooping them up.
Okay.
So most of them are older. That is why the guys that the Junkies know.
And that's the Junks wheelhouse.
Yeah, since the Junks are over 50 now, we're booking the old comedians that they know and names they recognize. A lot of it is name recognition. Like Jay Moore is coming to DC here soon. He's performing at the DC Comedy Loft.
And that makes sense if that's the crowd that they're kind of going for.
And JP Flame goes, ooh, Jay Moore's coming to town, right?
Oh, I know Jay Moore.
They wouldn't know. They don't, you know, Dusty Slay, who I like, who's an up-and-coming comedian, who's got a Netflix special. He's at the DC Improv, but the Junks don't know him. So it's always tough to sell the Junkies on comedians. Usually it's got to be a name they recognize.
First of all, it needs to be a name that they know.
Or you got to be 100% sure they're going to like them once
they get in. You've seen some of their act and you know that the Junkies would dig their act.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
So the Comedy Loft, they probably have an older demographic of people that come in there now because they're booking a lot of. Gotcha, I think Damon Wayans is coming to the DC Comedy Loft in like a few weeks. I'm old too. I'm 40. We're all getting up there. So those are just names that I recognize too. And I'm not deep into the comedy industry at all. So I don't, a lot of the new people I don't recognize either.
If you had a Comedy Central special back in 2006, you're probably going to be at the DC Comedy Loft.
Right. if you're like on the Eric and Andre YouTube show, I just don't know you or whatever.
What's the Showtime show?
Yeah,
where they have the interviews.
Those are for like AWOD's age bracket. I'm just I'm also getting old. I'm projecting a little bit.
Is that why everyone's crushing like the Jeff Foxworthy comedy special?
Oh, I saw he was trending last night. Everybody was calling him a hack.
People are crushing it because he's just old school comedy where they think it's like these hacky jokes about participation trophies and stuff.
He said, when I got a trophy, I actually had to finish first place. That is kind of a hack joke.
Yeah, but that's a DC Comedy Loft kind of guy.
I think Jeff Foxworthy.
I get signs for Jeff
Foxworthy.
Jeff Foxworthy
is a big name. He's like a. He might be a DAR Constitution Hall kind of guy. That's a big name. That's like Tracy Morgan. Like those guys are in the same category. Those guys, DC Comedy Loft. I'm not kidding you. I think it seats like 30 people.
Well, you know who's coming to town in April very soon.
I do not.
Friend of the show, Jim Norton.
Where is he performing?
He is performing at
Arlington Draft House.
No, I actually think he's. I think it's at Constitution Hall. I'm almost positive. Because he's promoting it nonstop on Jim and Sam.
We'll probably have Norton in studio if the timing works. A lot of these guys come in on like Friday afternoons now, and when they have a Friday night show, so it doesn't work out. But yeah, I like Pablo. I get a kick out of him. He's zany. He's gonna be dumped 10 times because he doesn't.
I gotta
know.
Be on my A game whenever Pablo.
He's not on the pulse of what's acceptable in radio.
Yeah,
2022.
How is he not canceled?
I don't know.
Does he predate cancellation? And also, I was thinking about this too. So, like, he does a lot of this like corporate voiceover work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how have they not seen his like sets and his appearances and listen to his radio hits and hear some of the dicey stuff he says? And then all of a sudden, boom, he gets that voiceover work just pulled right from under him. Like, the Subaru want to be in bed with Pablo Francisco?
Hey, what are you doing right now? Are you trying to point out the fact that you take money out of his pocket?
No.
What are you trying to do here? Are you Aflac all of a sudden?
No, Gilbert Godfrey? No. It's just something that I had in my brain. That's all.
I think most comedians are on the edge of what's acceptable, and if you're performing, then a lot of times you get a break. Now, if you're Gilbert Godfrey and you fire off a tweet, then it's out there, and then it sticks around and it's tough to get rid of.
I just want to put this, set the record straight. Valdez is anti-cancel culture.
Doesn't seem like it.
It was just a thought I had. And by the way, Jim Norton will be at DC Improv April 14th.
15th. Well, you sound a lot like Eric Thickle talking about cancel culture these days. That's one of the – Eric loves that phrase. Whatever.
Speaking of Eric, we have a lot of Eric to talk about today.
Always.
On Bit Season. You replied to one of his tweets that he had. I think it was on Friday night.
Over the weekend.
Yeah, uh-huh. And let me just read you the tweet that Eric had. All right. Mm-hmm. In a few weeks, my oldest daughter is flying to Miami. That same day, Dee and my youngest are flying to Orlando, and I'm driving to Connecticut. Radio pays okay, but I can't be paying for 3 flights and 3 hotels in 3 different cities over the same weekend. Recipe for financial ruin. All right, there's a lot to unpack there.
He invited it. He definitely invited it.
First of all right, we'll save the oldest daughter flying to Miami. We'll save that for later. But Eric, of all people, Eric Bickle, complaining about the money that he's spending when he's the main culprit of the spending, it seems very ironic, doesn't it?
Well, he always says, what are you going to do, die with the money?
Yeah,
right? Like that's his hotline about it.
Yeah, when did that phrase all of a sudden just take over? That thing is spreading like wildfire.
Well, I always like it when he says it to the other guys because the other guys are just cheap.
Tightwads,
and that drives me crazy too. But you can't have it both ways, right? If you want to brag about your money, brag about your money. Be Donald Trump, right? Uh-huh. Talk about how rich you are and how successful you are.
Take pictures of your gold-plated toilets.
Eric Bickle talks about his BMWs that he drives. He says, to be president, his famous line, to be president, I'd have to take a pay cut. Okay?
Hey, what's...
I love that line. It always makes me laugh.
Do you remember him drunkenly talk during one of the
Christmas shows
talking about how he's a millionaire?
Of course,
right?
Of course, all four. Well, JP, who knows? But he had his own corrective issues in his marriage that I don't know. But the other three definitely, probably, they'll probably get bitter a couple times over. I that's my rough estimate. And I'm only using public information that's been said on the airway.
There you go.
Okay,
yes.
This isn't my own.
Hey, why is everyone so like fascinated with the junkies' salaries and junkies' money? Because that was a huge thing that I noticed in his tweet. Like a bunch of people's comments about, and then there's a lot of guesstimating about how much the junks make. And you get this all the time too. And I get it when I go out and if I'm at an appearance or something like that. People always go, well, how much always do the junkies make? Don't you get that all the time?
Of course.
So but why are people so fascinated with the amount of money the junks make?
Well, first off, they feel like.
And by the way, why are we never asked?
By the way.
I'm keeping a tracker.
Okay.
We'll get to that. Why are we never asked how much we make?
Are you offended by that?
I'm a little offended.
You want people to think you're a millionaire?
No, but
maybe you are, Valdez.
No, but I feel like if we're public with our salaries, then maybe people would be nicer to us.
Hey, I'm not a millionaire. Yeah. Not anywhere close.
Yeah, Valdez and Drab, non-millionaires.
Yeah, I'm paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. reading Eric's tweet about that just made my savings go to zero.
Well, I got a kick out of reading the replies, and there were a lot of replies to his tweet. And when I retweeted it, I said this tweet did not go over well at BitSeason because I wanted to make sure I reminded Valdez that I wanted to talk about it. And even people were jumping in my mentions. There is a fascination about how much the junkies make. Are they – and people are all over the place, right, about their yearly salary and
it's pretty comical.
Right. I saw one person say that – everybody who's in morning radio makes $300,000 a year, which I just had to laugh at.
There's a lot of people around here that, right. You know, not at this station that wish they made that money.
There's a lot, yeah, all over radio, all over the place. But here's my thing with Eric. You brag about your money all the time, right? You talk about just spending it, spend it, spend it. Well, then you can't go all on Twitter and complain about how you're spending all your money.
Right. Your mantra can't be, what are you going to do, die with it? And then all of a sudden go bonkers when you have a big weekend that you got to pay for. How much do you think that weekend is going to cost?
Very expensive. It is very expensive.
That's probably.
Here's the thing. They're all voluntary expenditures. Okay.
Do you think that's a $10,000 weekend?
Probably.
That's what I ballparked it.
Yeah. But what in there does he have to do, right? Is he's not spending his money on chemotherapy treatment, okay?
Right.
Like these are
it's not hospice for your dying grandmother.
This is a mo money, mo problems type of situation, okay? Eric has a certain lifestyle that all the junkies do. And he's referencing here in this tweet about, if you can't figure it out, about his kids playing sports, that he is either travel sports or college sports.
Well, he's got one going to spring break. Right. He's got a daughter going to Orlando. My guess is for some sort of volleyball tournament. And then he's driving to watch Stevie sit the bench.
Well, that's not fair. Don't say that.
He's out with injury.
He's back. Well, he's back now.
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure of his playing status.
Look, Eric has two kids who are Division I athletes and probably a third on the way. That's awesome. Like, if I was in his same situation, I'd be fired up. I'd be going to as many games as possible. But Eric is in a financial situation where his kids can play travel sports, and on those travel sports, they travel everywhere. That's part of the deal. First off, I don't think they have to go to every single one. I don't think the parents go to every single travel weekend away.
My guess is
and there's plenty of parents that sit out, right? Their kids don't go to every single event.
Yeah, I couldn't fathom it if I had a kid who was traveling, you know, X amount of times per week to go do whatever tournament. Growing up, that wasn't a thing.
But sports has changed a lot in the last 15 years, right? So we always, us old timers, we always complain about that.
Well, then how
that,
just, well,
that
then
is what it is now, right?
Well, then tell me how the heck can somebody who isn't in Eric's position be able to?
They don't. They don't.
Well, then, yeah, exactly. So then Eric shouldn't be complaining.
Well,
I shouldn't say that
they don't. There might be other ways. Like either you're really talented and you're either sponsored or there's things that happen where you're able to be on the team, like for travel AAU or, I mean, that's why football is such a popular sport, because it doesn't cost a lot to play, and athletes, you can be a great athlete and pick up football and be really great at it. You don't need to play it your entire life to excel in high school.
Do you know what made me mad about this tweet is...
Did it really? It made you.
No, there's a lot of things about this tweet that really made me mad.
You have more jealousy issues than I do. I think you're a little bit jealous of that. I'm not jealous. I just thought it was funny that he's complaining about.
No, it made me angry. It really made me angry.
Okay, well,
it made me angry because if I wanted to go to a travel baseball tournament growing up, I had to bust my ass and go sell Joe Corby's pizzas door to door to get whatever money it is for the trip. Why? That's just it's just being spoiled. Spoiled that you're able to just fly to Orlando for a volleyball tournament.
I don't know if
and if Eric is upset about the cost of sending it down or sending his daughter down there to go do the tournament, have her go door to door selling those French bread pizzas like I did. That's why it made me so angry.
And maybe she does. I doubt it, but maybe some of the kids on the other team do. Look, everybody that I know, and I don't know a lot, so keep this in mind. Everybody, the kids that I know who's playing travel sports like this are well off, or do well enough where it's not a financial crisis that they're doing this thing. I talked to Sam Weiner here, number one sales guy. Yeah. His daughter is elite, and she's on travel soccer. He's going to Texas, Florida all the time, and I'm guessing everybody else on the team well off as well. It's just part of the lifestyle. I don't begrudge Eric at all. Eric earned his money. Eric is very talented. He's the Junkies are on the air 25 years for a reason, right? Like the Junkies should be proud of the money they make. But you can't cry poor and when you're going out and you're eating a $75 salmon in Poughkeepsie, New York, and complaining that you don't have any money and a dinner for one, right? go if you if you can't afford this,
that's $75 at Giant or right. Harris Teeter. It would make me eat for 3 weeks.
If you're complaining about it, then you tighten up elsewhere.
And, well, Ron brought up a great point about this tweet too, and that's what made. And it's another thing that angered me. Maybe I just have anger issues.
Yeah, you do. I think you do.
I do. You think I have a roid raging or something?
Maybe I don't know.
Who was he complaining to? Like, when he sent this tweet out? What kind of response did he think he was?
Maybe other travel parents that are
all right.
With
well,
him
he doesn't have. Well, he doesn't have a dad friend that he could text it to.
I'm sure he's looking for a pat on the back.
What? Like I'm a good dad.
Yeah,
I'm doing
so.
All
I
this.
Think so yeah,
I think he wanted an ear to vent to. And he didn't have anybody he could vent to, so he just put it out there in the Twitterverse and was just expecting, you know, a smorgasbord of dads to come to his rescue.
Right. What do you make of all these kids? I know we don't do a lot of sports on the show. In fact, it says no sports, but I'm interested in this. What do you make of these kids playing sports year-round? My kids are a year and a half years old, so someday in the next few years I'm going to have to worry about this as well. I like playing all the sports. I feel like kids miss out on a ton.
It's ruined childhoods.
It's ruined childhoods.
Yes, and I'll tell you exactly why. Right. It's because growing up, I think I was one of the first people that discovered this specialization. All right. Okay. And that's kind of what it is that you're specializing in one sport.
I always felt like if you only played one sport, you were kind of nubs. Like the great athletes, the kids that went on and played in college or that were really good in high school, to me, they played all the sports and they were just the best athletes.
It means like you were touched by God. Like you could just pick up a lacrosse stick and be good. You could just pick up a basketball and put up 10 points in a game like it was nothing. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. You could be, you know, you could start as a running back just because, you know, you're,
and you were also
you're
the,
fast.
The quarterback was also the number one pitcher on the baseball team.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. That's your when you think of like Letterman's varsity studs, that's what you think of.
Right. But he was also 6'4", so he was also a power forward on the basketball team.
Plowing the head cheerleader.
Right. But he was only on the basketball team because he had great skill, but he was just a great athlete and
he could
out-muscle everybody or whatever. You know, he had a nub shot, but he scored 18 points a game. And,
something like that. But when I got to high school, that was kind of the era of the specialization. That's when it first started. So in high school, I played basketball, and I played basketball only in high school. Now, the baseball coach was very angry at me because I was a good little leaguer, and they were scouting you out when you're 12 years old.
Oh, really? You were only a one-sport athlete?
I was a one-sport athlete.
Oh, wow.
I played basketball my entire high school career. I played in summer league. I played AAU ball in the spring. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, when the fall and winter rolled around, that was That was high school basketball season.
Yeah.
And then looking back on it, mm-hmm. I feel like I missed out on a lot of camaraderie because I had a lot of buddies that just for S's and giggles, they wanted to play football their senior year.
There was actually a lot of pressure to join a sports team every season. I hated track. I remember having to be on a track team like two different times, and it was the biggest joke ever. I hated it. I couldn't believe this was before I started playing tennis. It was in late middle school, and I couldn't believe I was out there stuck playing track because you had to play three sports, one every single season, fall, winter, and spring.
That's what my brother did. My brother ran cross country.
Yeah. It's so many nub sports in the spring. They really are. I mean, I guess lacrosse is big here, but yeah. I feel like these kids now are just they're all one sport athletes. I want somebody who plays all three sports. If I'm recruiting, I just want a big silly. And then once they focus on it full time, that's when the development really starts. I feel like a lot of these guys that play one sport, this is my dumb GM recruiting cap on, they're tapped out. Like,
you know, you are. I never want to play basketball again in my life. Because
No. Like, they're tapped out. They don't have the growth that other people have. Because they're not the stud athlete. They're just spent a lot of time playing it, so they got pretty good at it.
Well, that's true too. To be honest, you're probably not going to go to college and play whatever sport in college. You're probably not going to have a career in that sport after you're done college. So what's the point of specializing if you're me? If you want to go play D2 basketball somewhere in New Jersey. I mean, what kind of fun is that?
One of the things that doesn't make any sense is you spend tens of thousands of dollars to get a scholarship for a few thousand dollars.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah. That
you know, you're hoping, well, it's just mostly bragging. Sam Weiner brags all the time about his daughter.
He's like investing in her like a racehorse.
I do get sides for those guys' parents all say, though, about the camaraderie with the other parents is a lot of fun. So there's probably a lot in it for the parents as well.
But what are you going to do when your twins all of a sudden they're playing, well, what sport are they playing? They're playing lacrosse.
Okay.
All right. And they're getting pretty good and they're studs and they're playing on a prep team. Okay. And they got to travel to Denver for a 4-day tournament. Are you going to be able to financially do that every other month? Because they're good at lacrosse?
Yeah, here's the thing that these parents all say. You figure out a way to make it happen, right? My nephew only plays lacrosse. He goes to these travel tournaments all the time. You just have to figure out a way to make it work. You cut off, take out loans, you do other things. You go crazy because you want your kids to have the best life. That's one of the things that you sleep on.
I know, and I'm talking as a non-parent about it.
Right. I don't know.
I look back to my childhood and I try to figure, well, if sports are like what they are now, where your team is basically traveling once a month for whatever tournament,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have been able to do that. Also, my parents wouldn't have
been
able
to do that. Here's the big change. I played AAU all the time, basketball, and I played on a really good team when I was young. I tell you, first of all, before puberty, I was the number one athlete in town. Not the number one athlete, but I was a really good athlete.
Do you remember?
My heyday was fifth grade. Once everyone started putting on deodorant, I was cooked.
you hit puberty before all the other kids.
No. I never hit puberty. Before puberty, before when we were all 11 years old, mm-hmm. Okay, I was the running back. I was the point guard playing in the championship game.
Yes.
Okay? I always sucked at baseball, but... Okay,
no, I know exactly what you're saying.
And then once everyone's balls dropped, okay, and they start shaving, and I got left behind. And I feel like I never hit puberty until college.
I was the same way when I was a little kid.
Yeah,
I was. You remember being the fastest kid in your grade?
Silly, unbelievable mile time.
There was nothing. There was no greater high in your life mm-hmm. than smoking everybody in the mile, or you know, in fourth grade.
Yeah,
or you know, being able to sprint past everybody. There's no better feeling in the world. You just
I was
like,
the king of PE.
Yeah, you were the king of PE.
Yeah.
There were times when your PE teacher, when you were playing Red Rover, he would pick you and only you because you were the most gifted athlete to come over.
And you know what I always told myself to make myself feel better when everybody else was?
You would score.
No.
You would score 5 goals in a soccer game like it was nothing.
Yeah. This is what I always told myself when all the other guys had tons of muscle and were shaving and stuff, and I felt like I was getting left behind, and I was. That when I was older, they'd all be old and wrinkly, and I'd still have my looks because I'd look young. Little did I know I was going to go bald.
Everyone else
I went
has
bald
hair.
At 25.
All right. Now, I'm glad that we had to record some of this show on Friday, like we talked about in the beginning, because this gives us a great opportunity to bring Adam in here and talk about a segment that we ended the week with on the Junkies that I think we could have spent an hour on.
It's right up Adam's alley. And this was a New York Post article, I think they came out Thursday night, about Short King Spring. Ooh. And I think this is up Adam's alley because how tall are you, Adam?
I'm 5'10¾".
So Adam, that's how you know he's insecure about his height.
You speak like a true king.
Now, Adam is not a short king, obviously, but he is on the pulse of the dating scene in Arlington, and he heard the segment on the Junkies this morning. And before we get to what Adam thinks of Arlington, I think the Cakes and JP, those guys, they're short kings, right? They're short knockers. And
who's taller between JP and Cakes?
I think JP is by just a smidge.
Then why does Cakes get all of the short knocker shrapnel?
I don't know. I mean, I talked about how JP lying about his pant length ricks me, or that he's wearing extra long pants just so people think he's taller than he is. But I've noticed this recently, as I said on the Junks, that short guys are the in thing, and it all has to do with Tom Holland and Zendaya because they are the sexy hot couple right now. Uh-huh. That everybody and women love Tom Holland,
right? And JP knows every single movie star's height because I think he recited every single movie star's height on the shirt that I...
JP was ricking me in that segment. He was just focusing on Dan Snyder and Papa John's height. Like, what are you talking about? Nobody cares about that.
No, I want to know what's so sexually appealing about short guys.
I wanted to hear the giraffes, E.B. and Lurch, pontificate about short guys. Now, one thing that was talked about in this article that is dead on, tall guys have no personalities.
There's a lot of tall people that I feel like walk around and like think they're better than everybody, but when it comes to like an intellectual conversation, they're just a little slow.
That's why I like being average height. I think if you're anywhere between 5'10 and 6'1.
I was going to say, is that average?
For me, that's average. And I know if you take the worldwide view on an average guy, it's probably like 5'9.
I would drop it to 5'9.
No. But here in this country, if you're under 5'10,
You're considered short. There's
a stigma about you.
Right, but yeah. I don't think there's a true short king in this building, like in this office.
Chepe.
Chepe, yeah, that's a great
is
one.
The, oh, my the God, Latin you're short right. King. Hey, he's
Craig,
such a short
Craig
king.
Craig Heist.
No, he's not a short king. He's just short.
He's close.
Chepe's a great example. I know our audience doesn't know Chepe, but that guy's got more energy, more charisma.
Confidence
yes. than anybody I've ever met.
It's because the shorter you are, the more you have to make up for it. Because I think what's going on here is a survival of the fittest type scenario. So the taller you are, the more physically gifted you are. So you don't develop these social skills or these functional skills that, let's say, a Chepe has. That's why when you're tall, you're a dullard and you're a sports nut like Jason.
Yeah, you're just – most importantly, you're not funny. And what women here in this article said is that short guys are funny. And I've never really thought that in my life. When I think short guys, I think of just
I'm
a-holes.
Trying to think.
I always think of their a-holes because they're just overcompensating because they're so short and nobody respects them.
I remember when like – like if you're playing sports at recess or you're in gym class or gym class, it's a great example. The shorter the kid is, the more of a tryhard he was.
The runt.
Yes, the runt.
Yeah, I could see
they're
that.
They're going to be extra physical.
Oh, yeah. Now, yeah. Look, they take everything super serious.
I don't want any of you short kings out there who are listening to Bit Season to be mad at us. I'm just talking about stereotypes and what we've kind of perceived throughout our life.
But
I'm
that's
open
what short
change.
People do. Is they're going to listen to this and feel like we're
that's
directly
true. That is very true.
I know, but I'm not taking – this is your season. It is the spring of short kings, right? This is your time to shine. Us – we're average, so.
I'd say average height kings.
You've been waiting for this your whole life.
This is your summer.
Your summer to bounce back. Now, Adam, I was talking to him after the Junkies today. He told me that he's seen this in Clarendon, that the hot girls are hooking up and pairing up with the short guys.
Explain this.
So, like, there's a few short guys that are definitely short kings in my friend group, and we've gone out to Clarendon, and it's just something about their body that, like, girls will, you know, they'll go around the whole room and just focus in on the short guy.
Now, you can't be, like, short and stumpy.
But that's the thing. Most short guys
this is the thing. He says none of them are stumpy.
They're all proportionately very, very well. And if they took off their shirt, they'd probably have a six-pack. Their hair is all really well done. It's like they just treat their body. I think they're probably very healthy.
Their clothes probably fit incredibly.
Yeah, see, I'm jealous of a lot of things you guys, short kings, have going on. But one of the things, Adam is right. Almost all of you guys are butt fit.
They run very fast too. Don't right?
I mean, you're harkening back to your old PE days again. Just, you're stuck on that.
I have one buddy. My old roommate, very short, very short, and he was always fit, always at the gym, eating well. And I just think about him in this time and how he would probably slay. And I think he does slay
now. If you're an old listener of Big O and Dukes, you'll know this name. It's a friend of mine. He is the epitome of a short king. His name is Leo Leniz. He is this 5'6" Salvadorian guy. He's got more confidence. He's bald. It's me, okay? So bald. And he's got so much confidence, and he lives in the Clarendon, Arlington area, and he bags chick after chick that is way out of his league, way out of most of our leagues, and it's all because he's got this energy about him, kind of like Chepe, where he just doesn't care. He gets turned down 1,000 times, but it doesn't matter. He's on to the next one.
Let me ask a question. Is Pete Davidson a short guy?
No,
Pete's
tall.
Okay.
I was like 6'1" or something like that.
Yeah, I can't really think of celebrities, but like another thing with short kings is when you look at them, their clothes look so perfect on them. Single time. It ricks me so much. It's like their t-shirts, even if it's a little long, it kind of looks like it's a cool long
It's supposed
long
to be long. Right. Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, yeah, one of the longer workout tees.
Now, I think being short, and I said this isn't a personal attack, but I'm just going to say it. I think it's in my old black heart. It's the worst attribute you can have as a guy.
You
can be bald like me.
You think it's worse than being fat?
Not like I'd rather have your body than be short.
Like there's different.
You can't be massive.
Yeah, you can't be like the dude on Jackass.
Oh look, I never take my shirt off at the pool. I never even go to the pool because of my terrible body. Yeah. All right, I'm just
and
being
plus
honest.
And Drab swam laps while me and Wacky Jackie were hanging out.
Yeah, that's true. But when my shirt is on, I got a little bit of a swagger about me because I know I'm not short. I'm just average. Now when I see my friends are hanging out with taller guys or I see a tall, good looking guy, I immediately feel insecure.
Well, I would disagree with you because I think the a worse attribute than being short is body odor.
That's controllable.
Not if it's intense body odor.
Yeah, but if you're far away from a girl, she's not going to notice that.
All right. Well, here, let me throw out another one then. Okay. See if you can debunk it. What about overly hairy? There's some girls who think like a gorilla type guy is very masculine.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like a John Hamm type chest.
Believe me, I wish I had more chest hair. I got blonde hair everywhere.
Being hairy is up there. Yeah, I think that's butt hurting.
I personally think it's hurting, but I could see how a hairy summer could be in 2023.
Okay. Well, the problem is those are mostly guys of certain nationalities or certain regions of the world where women are already attracted to that, right?
Like Italians. Italians,
very hairy. Middle Easterners, very hairy.
But they have that perfect skin.
Yes, they got other things going on that make up for it. Yeah, Harry, stinky. That could.
But I'm just waiting for a vitiligo summer or vitiligo.
That doesn't happen. There's not enough of you guys.
Yeah, when's the springtime of vitiligo?
When's man boob summer?
Yeah, where's fat gut summer coming along?
We had dad bod summer. I did nothing with it. You know?
Yeah. Probably you're too young to have a dad bod. That's only for guys like my age. So, and I also, speaking of dad bods, I didn't appreciate EB on the show today taking shots at fellow radio colleagues and how they
and how
aged.
Much weight they've gained.
I know that nobody knows who he was talking about, and I barely know who he's talking about. But the junkies have aged horribly. Why don't they know this?
No, EB thinks they've aged perfectly. He said it today. JP looked the exact same.
Yeah. JP looks completely different.
Yeah, a million wrinkles. The grayest hair in the world.
Now, JP's very, very insecure about his gray hair.
I know. It's actually, if you said that to him, he would feel personally attacked.
And I actually think it's a good look on him. It's like the salt
and pepper. No, I actually think it looks good.
I think it looks fine.
And what JP doesn't know is that women care not at all about gray hair. Like, that's for a lot of women, that's a turn-on because it's a look.
The salt and pepper look.
It's not even, you could be a silver fox. Those might be gay guys, but you could. I can't remember.
I know what you're saying. The gray hair.
The
is
gray hair
thing.
Means absolutely nothing to women. Guys, for whatever reason, are self conscious about it. That's JP's biggest hangup. But EB saying Lurch is the only one that looks relatively the same. And even I'll say this: even Lurch has aged a little bit in the last few years.
Jason's definitely aged. His wrinkles around his nose definitely more pronounced.
What's going on with his hair? Is it all the way there, or is he starting to bald a little bit?
I haven't noticed.
I haven't.
He never has his hat off.
He's wearing a hat every single day, and you know he's always getting his hair cut. I feel like he might be holding on.
That's what I've always said about. That's why I always wear a hat, and it's the fat bastard thing for me. I wear a hat because I'm bald, and I'm bald because I wear a hat. It makes me, okay? I've been wearing this hat for 20 years now, and I think I just smothered all my hair follicles.
Well, Jason definitely has some sort of hair complex going on if he's wearing a hat so much. Why is he wearing a hat? Because he's not balding. Is he starting to gray? Do you think Jason
is like a hairstyle thing?
Oh.
Because he doesn't wear – he likes – when he goes out to all his restaurants and stuff, he's not wearing a hat. His hair is just styled.
Hey,
he's self-conscious if his hair is not combed.
I have a theory that he secretly colors his hair.
No, I don't think so.
You think so?
There's nobody in the world who's 50 – he's
– Sure there are.
52? 52? And his hair doesn't have an ounce of gray. It's the Howard Stern theory. Everyone thinks Howard Stern has a wig.
No. This is why you're wrong. Because guys who are blonder have blonder hair. You don't notice it, and it goes grayer later.
Yeah, but it's not super blonde.
It's more of a red.
You're projecting right now, okay? You need to know when you're projecting. You're attacking him. There's a lot of 50-year-old guys.
Why is he attacking him? Because of his personal hair?
Yeah, because I'm gray.
What do you think of Valdez's – like I'm actually getting a up-close look at it right now. And it's not as bad as like I had probably thought. I feel like people joan on it a lot.
It's shocking.
I mean,
it's gray,
silver.
But it's like he's still got a full head.
He looks like Steve Martin. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
it's shocking. And you know what's even more shocking is that my beard hair, and especially my chin hair, is gray. If I grow out a beard, my chin hair will be gray.
Why don't you give it a try and color it once?
I've thought about it a lot.
I think we should get a sponsor for you to color your hair.
We should try that.
Make Valdez sexy again.
Yeah, your chin hairs are gray. My wife's been making some cracks about my little soul patch hair.
If he had a perfect head of hair, would he not be the sexiest man in the office? He's got the guns, right?
I don't think Valdez's hair is a problem.
Oh, what do you mean? He just said it.
No. That's me, though. That's me being self-conscious. I'm self-conscious because everyone my age.
Okay, but he is a little young.
I'm very young to be this gray.
If you hang on for another 15 years, you'll be fine.
Like this hair on me when I'm 45, all of a sudden is a chick magnet.
Now, I mentioned Steve Martin. The one good thing about going bald and having silver hair is you got your look established once you hit that, and you don't really change after that. Steve Martin's right. looked the same for 40 years, okay? Anderson Cooper, I don't have no idea how old he is. He's looked the same forever.
That's true.
All right?
He's had gray hair since 2000, since the
mold. I literally have no idea how old they are. Bald guys, if you're completely bald, same thing.
And plus, I think the maintenance on gray hair is a lot easier than the maintenance with balding heads.
Balding head. That's why I don't shave my head yet. I should shave my head. I just don't want to.
I would say me over Cakes. Because Cakes has to make sure that he's completely shaved his head anytime he has an event or anytime he's out.
There's no maintenance for your hair.
Exactly. Unless I want to color it. And right now, Adam has me thinking about if I should color it or not. Give it a shot.
I think you would look really great.
For a radio bit, you should. But you are way more accepting of your gray hair than JP.
That doesn't make any sense.
Like, JP's 15 years older than you, more than that. He should be okay with the gray hair.
I think my gray is a lot more pronounced than JP's. Growing up,
I want to know, like, what was your favorite hairstyle? What would you rock if you could redo it?
I was envious of all the kids that had bowl cuts.
No, get out of here.
When I was a little kid, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Bowl cuts were all the rage.
What year were you born?
Yeah. I thought Valdez missed out on the bowl cuts.
No.
That was an early 90s thing.
Yeah, that was all the rage. And
you were born in like 1987.
In elementary school.
When you have your hair like really forward and then it was like spiked in the front there and you kind of like, it looked like a rock star.
Tips. Yeah.
I'm upset that I missed out on the Macklemore haircut. Short on the side and then you comb it back. I wish I could have done that.
I had spiky hair.
In high school and college, I had the spiky hair.
I'd buy
the glue.
That's
crazy.
High school, I went full shaved. I would just take a one and just shave my head.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, it's like a wrestler
swimmer.
Look.
Yeah. That would be all sweaty with basketball practice.
I always thought that I looked like a cool black guy with like a fade when I did that. That's why I liked the haircut. When I was young, begged my parents to let me shave my head so I could look like Michael Jordan.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, I always
before I understood
this. I always thought that I had a perfectly round head, so that's why I always shaved it. And then I used to love going to a black barber shop when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you get the shape up and the line up.
I used to go to All in His Hands barbershop.
I like black barbershops. Obviously, the camaraderie is
awesome. Oh, yeah. I mean, so many sports debates.
Yeah, but here's the thing. There's an etiquette there, and you can't f*** it up, okay? It's for regulars. If you go to one, you have to sit there in the chair forever because everyone else has got their barber picked out. And they all know what the line is and everything like that.
Yeah,
very intimidating.
You gotta wait like 45 minutes.
And you gotta get the new barber that like nobody wants.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta work your way up the system. I've gone through the black barbershop phase. I'm back over at haircuttery. It's just easier.
Yeah, but you don't get the silly lines and everything.
I know, you get a way worse haircut. Yeah.
And I love the attention and the.
I know what you're talking about. You feel like they respect you because you know that they're the best barbers.
Of course,
and you want to fit
like,
in.
Yeah, like I'm the guy who knows that if I want the best haircut, I go here.
Right, I know what you're talking about.
It's kind of like when you go to like that hole in the wall to get your food.
Adam doesn't know that.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Adam
would be so intimidated
Adam
if he went
goes
into a black barbershop.
Adam fancy, smancy, bearded goat places.
Yeah.
They like, you know.
Scott Parker has to own it for him to go
no,
in.
No, at VCU. At VCU, it was filled with black barbers everywhere, and that's where I would go. And
I'd love to see a black barber try to tackle your ginger
your
hair.
Yeah, your Jewish ginger hair.
Wait a second. What about being a ginger compared to all the other things we've talked about?
Oh, yeah, a ginger summer.
Yeah, when's ginger summer?
I think it's always in.
Here's
the thing. There's always a couple girls that, like, that's a fetish for them. They like
them.
They get butt-sized for the orange or red hair.
No. That's for...
Well, then why do you always say you're blonde?
No.
Well...
Because he knows. He's lying. Because that is reserved for red-headed women. Those are the most
which sometimes are the sexiest women around.
That's what I'm telling you. I've read studies. I'm literally not making this up. Redheaded women are the most desirable women on the planet. They get married the youngest because they're approached more so than anybody else. I think it's because they're more rare. And most redheaded women are attractive. You don't see a lot of pigs.
Yeah. Let me ask a question. Mm-hmm. You know how guys are shallow and they see a redheaded woman, they always go, does the curtain match the carpet?
Yeah.
Do you think girls go up to Adam or hotter redheads and go, do the curtains match the carpet? Do you think they're as shallow as we are?
No, they don't think about that at all.
I've never been asked that. No.
Of course. you know what they ask?
You should put that in your profile.
Yeah, the curtain. Hey, curtains do match carpet. Hey, you know what Adam's asked?
What's that?
Can you get out of the way?
Yeah. Where's that short king at?
Yeah.
Can you stand in front of my short king?
Short
hey, you're blocking
so
my short king.
I will be honest, though. I always felt like in high school, like short guys were always cool with all the girls. And so it kind of feels like it's like coming back now. And that's why it's all girls like short guys because they're in.
Because they're not threatened by
them. They're not threatened by them. That's another thing. Yeah.
They could physically beat them up.
I know. We're going to lose a lot of viewers and listeners here.
I just know that I have this one short friend that every time he goes to Clarendon, he just points out the hottest chicks in the bar, and he could just walk up to them and get their number. And it's just, you know, that easy for him.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he has the confidence.
Because they built up this person, the survival skills.
Right.
They built this up in high school when they were getting stuffed in lockers.
Right.
They learned.
They just don't
care.
They
learned. No, they learned how to deal with these situations. Because when you're a taller kid in high school, you never had these awkward conversations or you never had to weasel your way out of anything socially. But when you're a short king and you're in high school and you're getting shoved in a locker or your head's getting flushed in a toilet and getting a swirly, you got to figure your way out of these problems. You got to talk your way out of it.
All right.
And it's gone into the Arlington streets now.
Okay. I got my name picked out. Who is the king of short kings?
Short emperor.
Yeah.
Ooh, let me look up.
I think it's Kevin Hart.
That's a great one.
But famous, but funny. Obviously, his entire shtick is about being short and people making fun of him for it. And he is, there's no bigger and hotter name than Kevin Hart. Beautiful family. Wife that, you know, I think he cheated on his wife. It was a big scandal at one point. But he could have any woman he wants.
Spud Webb.
Oh, you guys are sleeping on the correct answer.
Who?
Now, you have to take it back 30 years. Michael J. Fox. He was the king.
He was actually. He was actually not a bad answer.
That's a great.
But he was a heartthrob. How did you know that?
I had to look it up.
Google.
Small actors. But 5'4", I mean, he was the king back in the day. Every girl loved him. Marty McFly.
That is true. He was a heartthrob back in the 80s. Except for, I think, wasn't he like way older? Maybe not. I feel like he was like one of those guys.
Maybe you're thinking
older.
Of Corey,
like 30,
Corey Feldman, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
like he was like actually 30 and everyone thought he was 18.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Good segment. It could have been better segment on the Junkies, I think, if JP wasn't rattling off Dan Snyder stats.
Listing every actor and his height.
All right. Well, that's a good conversation on it. Thanks for spending some time with us,
Adam. Yeah, thank you,
Adam.
Go prep for your real show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
Adam,
bid season all day.
The biddies miss you, and
Adam,
so do we.
Should we hire Ryan Clary?
Well, here's the thing with Ryan Clary. You shouldn't tell him whether or not he gets the job. You should just expect him to show up. I mean, this is freaking bit season. If he doesn't want to be a part of it, that's fine.
We kind of expected that this week, and he no show.
I called him out yesterday. I told him. I was like, Ryan, what the hell are you doing? You know, Linnell's going to take your job. Cody Shook wants it.
I think Ryan's safe. Those are the two guys want it. All right.
Thank you, Adam.
All right.
Good episode.
I'm glad that we got to redo this because I was excited to talk about short kings.
Yeah, that was a great topic. And we apologize for yesterday and the whole hassle.
Basically, we lost the recording for the majority of
half
the show.
The recording.
Yeah. All right, guys, thanks for supporting the show. And again, we are going to be on our own feed here shortly in the next week or two. We'll have all the more details for that.
Yeah, and keep your eyes peeled.
All right, guys, have a great weekend, and we will talk to you soon.
See you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.